De Emilia Pérez.
All right, Keith. One of our hottest, sexiest, most fun episodes of the year.
Yeah, Maximum's top five sexiest episodes.
Yes, yes. We look forward to this every year because we get to really just, you know, cut loose on those films that we really feel deserve it. We each pick our personal choices for the five worst films of the past year. This year, looking back on 2024. Keith, what are your thoughts? How excited are you?
I'm through the roof. This is my favorite. Episode of the year because this is of my last. I only like bad movies. I love watching bad movies.
So these are all technically Keith's favorite films of the year.
They're both.
Yeah. Yeah. And my number one worst favorite movie.
Bad movies give me hope as filmmakers ourselves. The bad movies give me hope. I say I can do something that shitty.
Yeah,
I can.
Keith can. I've seen him. God bless him. He can make a bad film.
Yeah, I sure can.
All right. Well, let's dive right into it after we thank our dear friends over on Patreon, Fish and Richie and Keith's an Idiot. Lots of activity happening over there on our Patreon lately. Uploading a lot of stuff. We got a brand new full episode over there that you can only see over there by being a patron or by giving us $5. We don't care. Either way, just send us money. The episode on Enter the Dragon is going to be up in the next day or two. So that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of money, also listen to the podcast. Listen to those ads. Spotify, Apple Podcast.
Yeah.
Where are we getting your podcast?
And thank you, sir. May I have another? We're part of the Believe Podcast Network, which we're very happy about. We're creating original podcast content multiple times a week over there. And, you know, we're getting better. Shut up. We're doing fine. All right. God, these guys. Just a bunch of. Keith, it's five worst films of the year.
They want us to fail.
We always preface this conversation with saying, you and I, we haven't seen every film. Those lovely Patreon people aside, we're not getting paid for this really just yet. So once we are, we'll watch all the bad movies. But I in specifically seek to avoid films that I am confident are not going to be good. Your Cravens, your Red Ones, your Madam Webbs. I'm not watching those movies. So my list here will probably be a little more controversial because it will include, awards favorites that I don't think are good. So it's not, you know, keep that in mind as we get through these five.
Yes. I feel like these are the movies that I'm about to tear to shreds are not only movies that I think are bad, but they're like just really disappointing.
Yeah.
Like we haven't seen every movie. So it's just the movies that the movies that I saw are just really disappointing. Just like, God, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the great natural segue
king, Keith.
Lead us, kick us off with your honorable mentions. We usually each have a couple honorable mentions that we narrowly miss our worst five. And then just take us to your number five and we'll alternate from there.
Yeah. All right. There's a film called Mother of the Bride.
Mm.
I believe it was a Netflix film. I watch it with my wife. It's a rom-com for those of you who are unaware. It is not good. Jackpot, John Cena action film with Awkwafina. I feel like you've never heard of most of the films I'm about to.
No. I mean, I haven't heard of Mother of the Bride, and Jackpot was like half of a shred of awareness, but I can't picture it.
Yeah. It's an interesting premise. I don't want to dive too deep into this. We should ride around.
Let's dissect it.
It's an interesting premise, but very futuristic. You have to kill someone who won the lottery. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But not great.
Was it better on the fifth viewing or the fourth viewing for you?
I watched it this morning again.
Wanted to be fresh.
Borderlands is obvious.
You watch Borderlands?
I watch most of Borderlands.
Yeah.
Not worth it. Get excited to watch these movies for this episode.
Yeah.
Like, this is why I watch them.
Yeah.
The new Ghostbusters. That movie was just disgusting to me.
Is that Frozen
Empire? Yes.
Yeah.
And I wanted, Everett, I really, really wanted to like it.
Yeah.
I was excited to sit down and watch, because I didn't mind the first, the last one, I should say. The first one of this new saga, if you will. And I didn't mind it. It was a fun kids movie. This movie just really grated on me, not to get too much. And this movie almost made it in. The next movie is a movie called French Girl. It just barely missed my top five. It's starring Zach Braff, who I will always have a warm place in my heart.
We all loved Garden State when we were 23 years old.
So what are you up to now, Mark? You're digging graves?
Yeah, and I have scrubs. I'm a big scrubs guy.
Oh, yeah. Of course. Of course.
I'm a big, I am. I will,
you're like,
I,
I've never seen Garden State. I just love scrubs. It's a huge scrubs guy.
but French Girl was really, really tough to get through, unfortunately.
Is that another, did he write and direct it?
No, I think he just starred in it.
Mm.
Vanessa Hudgens may have also been in it. It fell off the cliff pretty quickly.
Yeah.
That almost made it into my fifth. At five, and this may surprise some of you and Everett, drum roll please. At number five, the film, the Apple film, Wolves.
Wolves, okay.
Have you seen Wolves?
No, I knew well enough to stay away. I saw the trailer and I said, "Oh, this looks disappointing already."
Here's the thing: I love Brad Pitt and I love George Clooney.
Who doesn't?
And I love them together. I'm an Ocean's 11 guy. I think they have a great chemistry together. So I was excited to see this. The premise of the movie, again, albeit very simplistic, I was like, yeah. Give me this film. I'll gobble it up. It's great. It's going to be an easy watch. Be some quippy dialogue from two legends, in my opinion. Great. I felt about this movie the same, very similarly, can't do it, as I did about Air. If you remember our Air episode.
I sure do.
But in a much worse way. This movie is just... There's like three locations to this movie. That was like two guys who want to hang out for a little bit. They're old friends and want to collect a paycheck. Yep. And that was like written all over this movie. So much so that like the worst part of this film is they do nothing. They do absolutely nothing through the entire film. It's mostly just sitting and talking. And the big action that is happening in the third act, they are not a part of.
Oh, nice.
You don't see it. You don't see it. And they're not a part of it.
Yeah.
You come in after the fact and like see the chaos. It's, so your heroes of your film, your protagonists or anti-heroes, if you will, they're not part. They don't do anything.
Keith. They're getting up there. All right. You can't expect them to show up every day on set.
It blew my mind. And to the point where... So the movie ends, spoilers, the movie ends with like, they're about to go into this, like they're gonna die situation. And then the movie ends because they're like, there was supposed to be a sequel. I don't know if you remember, a little controversy about this film. There was supposed to be a sequel. And because Apple did not release it with a wide theater, the writer director, he was so pissed. He's like, no more. So the film was butchered. Like when you start a movie and be like, we're going to make three of these, I think it's stupid to like string it out and not give you a singular piece of work, which clearly this movie avoided. So I could talk for a while about it, but don't waste your time on Wolves.
So I got two categories of honorable mentions. Settle in. No, I'm just joking. I'll just fly through the films that I turned off. Notable films that I turned off. So I can't even really tell you if they would be worse or not. But they were so bad, I didn't want to finish them, so they'd probably be here. One, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Right there with you, Keith.
Love it.
I don't know when why they decided. I felt this way after Afterlife. Like, you know what Ghostbusters needs? Children. 10-year-old Ghostbusters. That's what people want. Like, no, that's not why. That's not... Anyways, I don't understand that at all. It's really hokey. It's really on the nose. Not a fan. I turned off a film, the Kevin Costner film, Horizon Part 1.
Mm.
The Western. I'm really supportive of like talented older filmmakers doing these passion projects, and that's what this was. He was selling things. It was the wife left him. Like, he's making this movie, whether anyone, it's a three-part epic. You know, Kevin Costner, he's hit and miss, but he's got some great hits. And I thought it, I got 25 minutes into it, and Kevin Costner was not in it yet, and every scene was in a different location with different characters, and there was no sense of, like, who the fuck am I supposed to care about? What is happening? And then on top of that, it's this gritty Western set in the 1800s, and it all kind of looks like an iPhone ad shot on a sound studio. Like, even if they were in, even if they were on location, the way it's shot with, like, the over digital camera look and everything's perfectly lit, like, it just looks phony. So I checked out. I was like, all right, this is bad. This is bad. And I also turned off a film called The Bike Riders, which I was really disappointed that we got like an hour and a half into that. Like, we almost finished it. Tom Hardy and Austin Butler and Jodie Comer. I just thought that was boring and aimless. And we just were like, all right, we keep waiting for it to get better. And we're 90 minutes in. It's not getting better. We're done. My honorable mentions. Blink Twice. Did you see Blink Twice, Channing Tatum?
I didn't. It's something that caught my eye, and I go, I'd watch it if it were on, but I just never got the chance to watch it. I was never going to go out of my way to watch it.
It wasn't like it was such a bad experience watching it. It was like kind of fun and entertaining, and then really fucking dark and disturbing, and then like kind of fun and entertaining again, and then it just like really misses the point that it tries to make, I think, with the ending, like to an almost like offensive degree. Like, it really, like, you didn't you're not saying what you think you're saying. It's not unlike Promising Young Woman, which is a film I really disliked from a couple of years ago for that same reason. But so it's not like, oh, that was so awful, but it wasn't great. I'll get in trouble for saying this, but The Last Showgirl, we just watched The Last Showgirl with Pamela Anderson. Very, very like sweet, intentioned, interestingly shot, short, like comes in brisk, less than 90 minutes, about a showgirl, you know, a relic from another time in Vegas. And there's a lot to like in it. So it's not like, oh, this movie's terrible. Again, I don't watch a lot of really horrible films, I don't think. But like, I just thought her character was so poorly written to be like this horribly selfish, awful person. And then all of her character growth happens off screen. Like, it literally just cut from a conflict to, oh, it's resolved. You didn't see, like, you don't see the resolution. It happens like three times. And you're like, oh, movie's over.
You have to,
like,
wait. You have to worry about
That's kind of the whole point of a story is to show that, whatever.
No, I don't want to feel. Just tell me it worked out.
It's much just easier if you just settle the problems off screen. It's fascinating. Yeah. And my last honorable mention, very close to being number five on my list, was Roadhouse, which we did an episode on. Did you forget about Roadhouse? Or is it yet to come?
No, it did not make my top five. It should have been in my honorable mentions.
Yeah. Well, you can go watch our full episode on it.
There's such dog shit in my it's hard to draw the line. Like,
yeah. No, it's true. Anyways, number five. My number five. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it because we just spent a whole podcast episode on it. It is the film Carry On. You can see it on Netflix. It's very popular, starring Taron Egerton and Jason Bateman.
No, I don't accept it.
It's stupid. It's a stupid, stupid movie. And I won't remake my points here. Go listen to the podcast. It's dumb.
I don't know. Since we had left time, here's my question. I can't believe that. It feels just like it's the most recent movie you saw that you didn't like. I can't believe there, with so many other bad movies, I can't believe there that is number five. All of the movies you named are worse than that movie in your honorable mentions. Why that film? Why are you picking on this
Blink Twice is better. The Last Showgirl is better. And Roadhouse at least has Jake Gyllenhaal in it. Like, Roadhouse and Carry On were literally like juggling. Which one's it gonna be? And Jake Gyllenhaal pushes it to Carry On. I just think Carry On was nonsensical, and it's just stupid. It's fun. You can have fun. Like I said, you can have fun. You can enjoy it. That's great. It's bad. it's bad.
Okay.
Number four.
Number four, this movie, much worse. Much worse.
Than Carry On?
It is, yes. The fourth worst movie of 2024 is Lift. Are you familiar with the film Lift?
I don't think so.
Good.
Lift, I feel like I know all movies, so it's you've named five already. It's crazy.
Yes. Well, it actually proves the point that you made. It was a Netflix release early on in the year, starring none other than Kevin Hart. And this film is atrocious. It's atrocious for two reasons. One, fairly superficial, but I will die on this hill. It's for those who don't know, it's a heist movie. It's an action heist style movie. Kevin Hart leads a team of ragtag of criminals.
What is this?
I know the thing that turned me off in the beginning of this film is they do the cliched open where they have in any or a cliched open in heist movie lore, if you will, where they do the freeze frame, the name, and like a little bit about them.
Yeah.
And I think in 2024, if you're doing that not sarcastically or to satirize it, you're doing it honestly and sincerely, as this is like a fresh Kevin Hart, the boss. And he's got like a cocky smile. And you've missed it. You've missed what filmmaking is at this point in time. Like, how can you take this film seriously? How could you put this into your film and be like, fresh, this is awesome. People are going to think this is so cool.
It's an homage, Keith. It's an homage. You don't get it.
The wild one. The smart guy. Yeah. The cool girl. Like, it blew my mind that in 2024 I can see the open of a film do this. Like,
yeah.
How can you spoon feed me this information? This is just a Netflix release that is forgotten tomorrow too.
Yeah, I don't remember hearing about it. I don't remember the poster. It's crazy.
Nor should you.
That's crazy.
Kevin Hart just continues to take money from people.
That's what I'm saying. Kevin Hart is a great example.
Leads me to the other point, that another reason why this movie is really, really tough to watch. It is Kevin Hart. And I hope to work with you someday, Kevin Hart. So I really don't want to be mean-spirited for the sake of being mean-spirited, because I like Kevin Hart as a stand-up comedian. I think he himself is very funny and entertaining as a person. Like, his personality is good. It just does not translate to film. A long time ago, cut from an episode that we did, I talked about what I thought Kevin Hart needed to do in his career was do films that made him the coolest person in the room,
mm-hmm.
and not always the idiot, because he plays so many like dopey characters.
Yeah.
And he's a very handsome, charismatic person. Like, why aren't you leaning into that side of him? And he just proved me incredibly wrong with this film, because that's exactly what he tried to do. And it was insufferable.
Ugh.
It was insufferable to see him be so suave, to try and be like always calm and cool under pressure, and like just so cool in these like looks. How many looks can you just like give that are like modeling poses that are just, and it just, it's,
he
it's,
took your advice.
It's nails on a chalkboard.
He took your advice. What do you want from him? Come on, he can't win.
He did take my advice, and Kevin, I was incorrect. Stick to being the buffoon in your films.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry for that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he was going to call you tomorrow and ask you to work on a project, and you just kissed that goodbye.
And I did. And I don't like to be mean for the sake of being mean,
you're just being
an honest opinion.
Yeah. Judging art. Kevin Hart makes bad movies. I'll say it. He does. He makes bad movies. My number four is going to be deeply unpopular. I need to do a whole episode. I'm intending to do a whole episode of A Hot Rev on explaining this further, because I don't have 20 minutes to scream my defense. My number four is a film called The Substance. The Substance is a largely beloved film, starring People Demi Moore and Margaret Qualley, and it's an award favorite. Demi Moore just won Best Actress at the Golden Globes, and is kind of a early favorite for the Oscars. And you probably know about it, but it's a body horror, sort of like dark comedy, with some dramatic elements. I acknowledge, like, this isn't a movie that I'm like, this movie's objectively bad. So if you like it, that's stupid. That's my one and two on this list. This one is not like that. I understand enough about myself, and I think I'm honest and unbiased enough to admit that, like, I'm not a body horror fan, so that's got an uphill battle for me. I'm not like a sort of like, I don't really like camp. I don't like really kind of like metaphorical films that aren't based in any sort of reality that I can kind of like grab a hold of something. So there's a lot of strikes there for me personally. That's just my taste. But what I will say about The Substance is it's really horrific. Like, it's really horrific to watch, particularly in that final 15-20 minutes. But even within sort of like the rules of that universe, it just a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense, where things are just kind of happening. And I think people who love it kind of chalk that up to like, you don't get it. It's all a metaphor. It's not supposed to be real life. It's all about just like feeling and how it's making you feel, with sort of like this underlying message of, you know, these unfair and silly beauty standards that women deal with as they get older. Like, I think I get all of that stuff. I could go for a long time, and I will. But like, I just don't think it's as good as people think. I'm sorry. I did not like it. Well, tell me why you liked it and what I'm missing, and look out for a hot rev on this.
Back to more cheerier subjects. My number three, drumroll please. Ev has already mentioned it. It is Madam Web.
Oh.
Of course. And the reason it's number three, and I feel like this is a positive and not number one, which I think it would be on a lot of people's lists, is because I didn't expect it to be good. Like, I don't know who went into this movie or heard about this movie or any of the Sonyverse,
Yeah, they're all
and go like, this is the one. No, this is the one that's going to turn it around. Like, I didn't expect to be any good. It wasn't any good. There you have it. It meets all of the expectations I think a normal human being would have of just this is bad. I'll give one little nugget. This movie's been talked about for a long time now, so I won't belabor it. Dakota Johnson, she looks bored. She is bored most of the movie.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Which is really off-putting.
That's touring.
And it seems like they did this style of editing. In the beginning, they have this like really herky-jerky style of editing, which inherently isn't like terrible. But the more I watch the movie, I go, oh, this is just covering up for all of the rewrites, all of the mistakes. The main villains, all of his dialogue, I want to say 90% of it is ADR or it is off camera. It's looking at someone else when he starts, like, oh, this is rewritten 1,000 times.
Yeah,
like,
I've heard that too.
He doesn't even have cameras, like lines on camera.
You're just like your mother.
Yes, I am.
Like, so this movie is just like clearly doomed.
Yeah.
But the thing that turned me off the most, turn me off is going to be a poor choice of words once you realize what I'm about to say.
Sydney Sweeney's outfit.
It is Sydney Sweeney, correct. She is 27, 28. I think I looked it up. She's in her late 20s. There are three girls in this film that are playing 16-year-olds. And she is a fully grown woman.
Are you fucking crazy, man? She looks smart.
But I just think she is horribly miscast to play such a younger, like the point the film I think is trying to make is Dakota Johnson who was an orphan, is trying to raise these three girls. Mm-hmm. These girls are supposed to be young, adolescent, naive, like burst into the world. Like, I don't know who to trust or what to do. And she's going to parent these girls.
Yeah.
But then you cut to a nearly 30-year-old woman. And it just does, and I just can't get away. I'm just like, this is a huge mistake.
Yeah.
I can't feel, like, what are you thinking other than just like, let's put this girl in this movie to sell tickets?
Sell tickets, yeah.
It, You sell tickets, like, but it's so glaring. Like, I can't, every time, it almost seems like a Saturday Night Live sketch because she just puts on glasses and, like, puts kind of like pigtails in, and they're trying to dress her young. And I just, like, it's like making me a 25 year old. Like, yeah. It just doesn't.
You could pass. Hey, guys. Keith, you look great.
I'm cool. Hey, everyone. I'm cool. Like, that to me was worse than anything else that film tried to do. Comical.
Yeah. I did not see Madam Web. I've heard all those. It's wild to me when, like, it's one thing for a film just to be bad, but then to be like, have all those technical errors, like the ADR stuff with the villain and shit. Like, I've seen clips. Like, that's just wild. And then, like, it's like offensive that you put that out into the world. Like, fuck you for taking people's money for that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Sony knows that wasn't a product that was worth anything, but they just try to. It's so bad, it's good. Get people in here, you know.
Yeah, they have no choice. They're just like,
they had a choice to make a better film. My number three. This is, I want to say, segue kings between every entry, because the segue is just these are bad films. Speaking of bad films, speaking of the third worst film of the year, I take no pleasure in this one either. I was rooting for this one. My number three worst film of the year is Megalopolis. Francis Ford Coppola's long ruminating epic starring Adam Driver and a bunch of others. It's just bad. It's just what it is. It was really like bad. It's like, you know, it's like it's just all over the fucking map, and it doesn't really make any sense, and it's sometimes, like, it has some really striking visuals. Like, Francis Ford Coppola is a master. He's made three or four of the best 35 films of all time. Like, the guy's a legend. He's incredible. He clearly knows what he's doing. But so there's some great visuals, and there's, like, moments where you're like, oh, I kind of see what was happening here. But it's so bizarre. It's so tonally bizarre. It feels very, like, stream of consciousness, and maybe that's the argument could be made that that's part of the point, but it's just like non sequitur scenes and editing, and what does this have to do with this? Nothing. Like, just things are introduced and talked about, and then nothing, and everybody's just kind of, there's like, people are in different movies, some people are in like a really campy, like, futuristic period piece steampunk thing, and others are in like hardcore dramas, and it's a bad film. I'm sorry. I really wanted to be great. I just, like Horizon, I mentioned Kevin Costner. Like, I respect so much these guys who are just like, I'm doing it my way, artist for artist's sake, like all that shit. Like, I love that. He sold half his winery. It's a shame the film isn't better. You know, it's just a shame. It's a shame.
Do you think he regrets selling the winery now?
No, I bet you. I mean, I don't think he does. He's such a cool character in terms of film, and like I really did a deep dive on him after watching Megalopolis, and I knew some, but really got into just his outlook and his like philosophy on filmmaking and on artistry is really inspiring, and he's really like always trying to get outside of the box and, you know, fuck the suits and let artists make the art, and it just, like, he's really great in that way. So that's why I want to be like, man, I wish this was just like a slam dunk opus to, like, cap his career, and it's just not a good movie. So it's too bad, but it was very laborious, man. Did it feel its length.
That's what she said.
So the studios are right.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Trust Warner Brothers. Trust the executives. Yeah. They know what's best. Sony. The Sonyverse is good. If you don't like it, you're wrong. Hire me.
God, now using that clip for the end of time.
I will create propaganda for you. Keith, number two. We're getting to the juicy stuff.
Number two. This is it. But the second worst film of 2024 is Red One. This movie offended me. This movie made me mad. It made me mad. the thing I don't understand, Segway Kings, because this is just a studio again just trying to hold a certain demographic hostage, just forcing slop down their throat that they think will work. I feel like they they're like superhero movies might be in a little downturn, but what other popular IP can we bastardize to get people and make it an action movie? And they're like, Christmas? And I'm like, sure. So what I don't understand is who this movie is for. We've asked this question so many times, and we've been criticized on this channel many times for like asking this question. It's dumb fun. It's stupid. But legitimately, like, this is, it's more adult than family friendly, if anything. And I don't understand, like, Christmas is more of a family kid thing. So you're trying to use the Santa Claus IP to get people in the door because they know I know Santa Claus, but they take kind of like a harder turn with it. and the Rock thinks he's, again, he is like giving it his darkest best, like, I'm in a real serious action drama. And Chris Evans is in this like good time fun Marvel movie. Like, it's completely mismatched. It has no integrity whatsoever, and it's just it's insulting for this to be given to us, to in my opinion.
Yeah,
like, they're just grasping at straws, and they Christmas, give them Christmas. They know who Santa Claus is, right? Make them fucking jacked.
They like
make
the Rock. They like Captain America. Fight.
Yeah, but put him, make him fight. Dude, like, it just seems like a kid in a bathtub with toys just fighting and just wrestling and just, like, whatever toy he can grab is just like, meh, 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 we did it.
Yeah.
$1 billion? it's, I'm, like, insulted. I'm insulted by it, so.
Yeah, yeah. All right, my number two. As of this moment, I still don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, so my 5 and 4 and 3, if you like those movies, that's fine. Like, I understand. I understand. Like, I see the value or, you know, the objectively what you could enjoy about it. My 1 and 2, I don't see. I don't feel that way. And, okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to flop. I'm flopping.
Wow.
Once my 1 is now my 2, and what was once my 2 is now my 1. I was putting this at number 1 on principle. I do think it's one of the 2 worst films I saw this year, but on principle. It is, you're not going to like this. It's the movie Trap. M. Night Shyamalan, starring Josh Hartnett. I hated this movie with a singular rage. I think it is, and what I don't understand is, like, it's not like so well regarded, but there's like a certain subset of, like, even like kind of film people who I've seen online who, like, actually kind of go to bat for this movie and be like, actually, it's like, it's pretty cool what he's doing. He's like doing something different, and it's kind of unique, and it's not great, but it's like fun. You know, it's like people kind of do that, like, turn off your brain and just enjoy it, and it's like fun and self-aware, whatever. I am genuinely curious for if you really like Trap, and it's not even that you really like it, because again, we all like shit sometimes. But if you really think Trap is good, please tell me about it. Like, please explain to me, because I think not only is the film really bad, and it's structurally, it's very strange, you know, it's about Josh Hartnett, and this is all in the trailer, so I don't even think it's spoilers, but he's the serial killer that's trapped in this arena where he's taking his daughter to see a concert, but then, like, kind of halfway through, it, like, he's not the main character now, and the hero of the film is the singer, the pop star who is performing the concert, and now it's sort of from her perspective. So, like, structurally it's weird. Performance, I think it's really weird. Written, it's really on the nose. So it's a combination of, like, Shyamalan's direction and writing that makes Josh Hartnett into, like, a terrible actor, which he's not. He's, like, a really good actor.
It was very upsetting. I think she's gonna be starred.
But he's just, like, doing this thing where it's just all really kind of, like, performative, like, bordering on camp sometimes. And then the worst thing about it, which is what it was going to be number one for me, which I don't know how anyone can defend, is that, like, it's not really a movie at the end of the day. By the time you get to the end, it's, like, very clear that it's a 90-minute, two-hour commercial for M. Night Shyamalan's daughter's music career. Because she plays the pop star that is performing on stage, and huge swaths of the beginning of the film are just extended periods of her music. And Josh Hartnett and his daughter just rocking back and forth. Why is this scene going on for 4.5 minutes? Oh, because that's how long the song is. And then you wouldn't believe it, Keith. You wouldn't believe it. And it's not even an insult to that young woman who's like a fine singer. The songs are fine, but like,
are they all original? Are they original?
Yes,
music?
It is her music. And so why I take that so personally, I take offense to this, is like, it's a director who's established, who has name recognition, who has made good films in the past, using his position and his fame to basically just make a fucking nepotist commercial for his daughter's music, to use this art form that I love so much, that you love so much, that we respect so much, to just be a commercial for his daughter's music. Like, that is bullshit. Like, and that really makes me mad. Like, it's a bait and switch, and it's a waste of fucking time, and the film is nonsensical and stupid and also poorly made. So, like, sorry. I'm not putting up with that. I think it's really bad.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, I've not seen the film. I almost saw the film. I was about to click on it, and then I didn't. Not because I thought it was going to be bad, because I like bad movies, but I was just like, meh, not tonight.
You'd love it.
So I understand it, as you describe it, it sounds awful. Obviously, I don't mind the whole nepotism thing in general. I have a daughter myself. If there's something I can do to help her in an industry, like, I would do it because I love her and I want to help her succeed. I think it's okay to assist, to help, to use your influence to better the lives of someone that's close to you. But as you describe it, that seems like more of an abuse of that power. And that is, it's obviously a big gray area, but you know, you can't abuse it in a way. Like, that feels shitty.
Yeah,
you're just like manipulating an audience to make sure that you hear my daughter's song. Like, that seems too much.
Yeah, it is too much. And she's not a great actress. So that's the thing. It's all of a sudden halfway through, you're like calling on her to like kind of carry the load, you know, but like some really dramatic, intense scenes. And you're like, oh, it's just not.
Rachel, listen to me. Your husband is the butcher. Cooper is the butcher.
She's a singer.
She's not an actress.
Forcing this in. Really disappointing. Keith, it's the moment we've all been waiting for. It's your number one worst film of the year.
And it is the worst film of the year. No questions asked. You need to agree with me, and you need to agree with me. And if you don't agree with me, you're all wrong. And you should all think about doing something different with your lives.
Oh, we'll see.
Professionally, personally, all of it. There's one right answer here. The worst film of 2024 is a film called Argylle. Ah. Are you familiar?
Oh, I mean, I remember the awful trailer. I stayed away. It's actually my favorite film of the year. Spoiler alert for our best stuff.
I remember thinking like, man, that looks silly. But sure, I'll give it a whirl when I'm bored. I'll see what's going on.
Give it a whirl.
This movie unfolds in a way that is so dissatisfying. I was left speechless in the worst way possible. The number one thing that I hate about spy movies, and it is a spy movie, if for those who are unfamiliar, the movie is about a woman who writes espionage books and then gets thrust into her own spy thriller in real life. But this movie tries so hard to continue to outdo itself with revelation after revelation. And it makes for such an unenjoyable experience because nothing matters. Because you know in 15 minutes from now, something that just completely upends itself.
Yeah,
like, it's just going to completely flip over and be like, well, you didn't see that coming, did you? And you didn't, because it would be impossible for someone to just continue to make up.
That have no lead up or
no merit whatsoever. Like, it just doesn't mean anything. And it just, it feels like the people who made this film just either hate you or they don't care. Like, it's one of those two things. And maybe it's even both. Like, they just, it's so belittling to an audience member to think like, you think I'm happy now? you think this is making me happy? Like, what are you, How could you think that? I'm left with so many questions, not about the film, although it makes no sense. That's obvious.
Just about life. the purpose of life.
Why? Like, I want to talk to the people who made this film, but like, what did you think you were getting here? Like, what do you really think you're making? Because it presents itself as this like whip smart film. Like, oh man, we're really bringing it here. Like, it really feels like it's taking itself that seriously. And I wonder, like, are you? Do you really think like you're outsmarting an audience in the most satisfying way? Do you think this is working? Like, I can't believe I was just left like dumbfounded. Like, this is a real movie with A-list celebrities top to bottom.
Yeah, great cast.
Like a phenomenal cast on their own, but you put them together in this pile of dog shit. Like, I don't understand. Like, what a missed opportunity for this cast.
Yeah.
And boy, is it generic. Like, it's the thing that they might as well name the thing they were fighting over MacGuffin. Like, it's called, I think they call it the master file. What it is and what it does doesn't matter. Who knows? We're gonna get the master file. You sent him the master file? So frustrating. I just don't understand how this movie gets made and all the money that they spent on it. Like,
Where's that money?
And why? Why did you think this is a good thing? I'm flabbergasted.
Your whole reaction to that reminded me of how I felt after Red Notice. Just like that same vibe of just like, I don't understand. Like, they hate you. The people who made this hate you and think you're stupid. That's the only way this makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah.
My number one is worse. It's worse. It's just all there is to
Impossible.
It. And the reason Impossible. It's worse is tenfold. But one of the reasons it's worse is that it's being heralded and it just won Best Picture, Musical or Comedy at the Golden Globes.
The light always wins over darkness.
That is the film Emilia Perez, which I don't understand how anyone could like. I don't understand how anyone could think it was good. Like I said earlier, you can like shit. We all like a little shit every now and then.
I love it.
More often than not. Emilia Perez, I've never had my jaw dropped so widely for the whole film. Watched it with my wife. We're just agape, staring at each other like, this can't be real. This can't be really happening. It was always on my list to watch as I knew it was sort of like in the awards conversation. But then right after the Golden Globes, it wins all these awards. I thought, we put it on. You need to have the context. And we're just like, this is the fucking, like...
Yes.
I don't even know. It's a musical, allegedly, with terrible music. And the songs have no real melodies or choruses or verses. They're just like people singing their dialogue.
Hello, very nice to meet you.
And often very like serious subject matter. And they're just like sing-songing. Lady.
You know, I only fix the body.
If your friend's a man, he's a man. And if she's a woman, she's a woman.
But I will never fix the soul.
What the fuck is this? And there's this whole musical. It's about a cartel boss in Mexico who transitions from a man to a woman because they kind of make it. They're like, no, it's what she always wanted. But also, like, she's escaping this life, she's escaping the consequences of this horrible, crime-ridden, violent life that she's, you know, left in her wake. And she sends Zoe Saldana to go out into the world on her behalf to find out about surgeries. And there's this number that I can't even wrap my head around that this is a real scene in a film.
From penis to vagina.
Where she walks into a doctor's office in Bangkok. And they're singing about vaginoplasties and penile plasties and penis to vagina, vagina to penis. And it's just the most bonkers shit I've ever seen. And the whole time I'm watching it, I'm like, I can't fathom someone seriously sitting here and being like, this is the best picture of the year. This is the best film of the year.
Adam's up for reduction.
Yes.
So it's a horrible film, just barely scratching the surface on why it's awful. It's so stupid and tonally bizarre. but then also, like, I think it thinks it's being really progressive. But like, so many LGBTQ organizations have come out and spoken against, like, the trans representation in this film. It goes against everything that community seems to, like, stand for or want to see in representation. It's set in Mexico, but it was shot entirely in France by a French writer and director and team, and Mexicans hate it. Latinos hate it. It's like really stereotypical and kind of racist portrayals. And it's just a fucking mess. It is such, like, you can't believe as you're watching it that this is a real thing that exists in the year of our Lord, 2025 now. If it's so bad that it would just be funny, I would just be sitting here laughing, like, can you believe that movie fucking made it? If not for the fact that it's this now this kind of favorite for the Oscars, and I just really feel like we're done. Like, wrap it up. If this thing wins, like, there's so many people are going to check out. It's going to, like, damage Hollywood forever. It's going to damage the movie industry. I know I'm being dramatic, but, like, this can't win. It's fucking, it's crazy.
We must stop this from happening.
Yeah, I will pick it outside. It's really mind-blowing. I want you to watch it. I mean, you need to. It's an awards contender.
I will watch it.
I'm dying to know your reaction to it, because it's really, it's stupefying. Like, I cannot overstate how insane this movie is, and, like, not in any good ways.
Yeah, so. It sounds it sounds not good from as you describe. I'll reserve my judgment until I watch it.
Don't let me color your opinions just yet.
I will reserve judgment.
Yes,
but yeah, it doesn't sound great. It's funny, the musical stuff that you sing. It sounds like a South Park episode.
Literally everyone has AIDS.
Everyone has AIDS.
It's like that same vibe, but at least those songs are good. These songs are not even good. It's really, like, it's just batshit nuts. Like, you're just like, this ain't it. This ain't it, guys. Jesus.
Golden Globes said it was it. So
yeah, no. The voters love it. They love patting themselves on back for regressively progressive, in theory, films. Yeah. It's fucking crazy.
I think you said this in a personal conversation, but it feels like a little bit like Crash.
Yeah, it's being compared a lot to Crash and Green Book. These films that sort of have won the top spot because it's like, I don't know. It's oversimplified to say this, but it's just like what a Hollywood progressive person might think is progressive, but it's really not. It's really from the film itself. The storytelling is from the perspective of the not oppressed person, so it's just like, oh yeah, I can learn to accept people like that. So it's just not great messaging. But I would say I haven't seen Green Book. I mean, you know, fucking come for me. Crash is much better than Emilia Perez. Like, Crash has some redeeming qualities to it, just in terms of, like, I like the score, and there's a couple memorable scenes. You know what I mean? Like,
Ludacris is in it.
Does Emilia Perez have Ludacris? No. That's Selena Gomez doing some of the worst Spanish speaking I've ever heard. But, you know, far be it for me. Keith, those are the worst films of the year.
Sure.
It's a great time, as always, learning about so many films I'd never heard of.
I can't believe I can't believe you didn't know about all the great quality films
I missed those. But everyone, stay tuned. Coming very soon, we'll have our best of the year, which is also going to be strange. I'll tell you, it's a weird year. I look at my five best now, and I'm like, I don't like three of those movies. Like, what am I? I'm just filling space. I need to find some good movies. It's crazy.
I'd like to do a challenge. If you took the titles off of my best and worst, would you be able to tell them apart?
But I will never fix the soul.